Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Sounding good this morning. Woo. How, y'all sound like you're ready for church this morning. Amen, amen.
When my plans have fallen through and I don't know what to do, I just look unto the hills whence cometh my help. When the dreams I dreamed have died and I need a place to hide, I just look unto the hills whence cometh my help.
I feel the touch of hands so kind,
yes,
and tender, and they're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me.
we're blessed today. Brother David Ring is no stranger here. He's been here before. He's a nationally known evangelist. He's known worldwide. He's a very unique man. He has a message of challenging and a message of encouraging. Right now, you welcome Brother David Ring. Come right on up, sir.
Well, it's a joy to be here again. Thank God for Facebook, because I put it on Facebook that I was open today. And thanks to Ms. Pina, she said, "We want you." And therefore, if you don't like me, blame but I've been doing this for 41 years. Unbelievable. I know I don't look that old. Therefore, I started when I was 2. I've been all over this country. I've spoken in every state of the United States. I have spoken in over 7,250 churches. And I love coming to Georgia. I love Georgia people. I thank God for Georgia people. In fact, do you know Georgia is my favorite state to come to? Let me say it one more time. Georgia is my favorite state to come to. One more time. Georgia is my favorite state to come to. Now when I go to Alabama, I'd say Alabama in my favorite state. Amen. I'm all things to all people. Whatever state I'm in, I learn to be content. Amen. How many of you know by now I have a speech impediment? I forgot I'm in Georgia. Everybody in Georgia had a speech impediment. If you don't believe me, go down to Walmart. Every time I go to Walmart, people, it reminds me of being in an Assembly of God church. Everybody speaking in unknown tongues. But I thank God for Walmart. Anybody never been to Walmart? Huh? You will understand my story then. The other day, I looked at my wife and said, "Baby doll, when I die, bury me at Walmart." She said, "Say what? When I die, bury me at Walmart." She said, "What for?" I'd say, "If I die, and you bury me in a dumb cemetery with a bunch of dead people, you won't ever come see me. But if you bury me at Walmart, you will be there every day." Can I get a witness? Amen. Thank God for Walmart. But let me tell you, I've been to over 7,000 churches. Hear me now. Westside Baptist Church, and I'm going to write about this on Facebook tonight. This has got to be one of the top 5 churches I ever been to. When the saying was ago, I thought, it don't get any better than that. They might be bigger churches, but when you feel the power of God through a song, you got it. Amen? They cheat you this morning. They only sung one song. I don't need to preach. They save time for me, but they are much better than I will ever be. Don't say amen. You got your Bible today, turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, may I tell you, please be back tonight. Because tonight we are looking for a house full. For every Sunday when I give a church all day, the members stay home. But I guarantee you, if you make up your mind right now, I'm coming back to church tonight. Tomorrow you will be the talk of the town. You will. And they will say to each other at work, did you go to Westside, man? I went to Westside last night. I couldn't get in the door because they were packed in that sardine. So people, I'm begging you to come. If you don't come, we will miss you. But you will miss God. If you don't come, I pray your TV might blow up. He told me to say that. The Revelation now, chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life unto death. Revelation 12, 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And people today, I want to speak to you a little bit on how do we overcome. You saw the video. I was born with cerebral palsy, born dead by 18 minutes. How do you be dead and then be alive 18 minutes later and be speaking every Sunday and every Monday? How can you overcome that? How can you overcome a mom and dad death and move on in your life? How can you go to the next level? How can you move on even if life did give you a bum deal? I have cerebral palsy. You don't have cerebral palsy. But you have something to overcome. You don't have my story, thank God. I don't have your story, thank God. But we all have a story, don't we? Amen? And we will overcome whatever it is by the blood of the Lamb. I believe in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness of sin, no remission of sin. Jesus died for you to take away all your sin. They will empower, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? You tell me. What can make me over again? Oh, the blood of Jesus. But Jesus died to save you. But Jesus died to shed his blood so you and I can be an overcomer daily. I'm 60. I'm almost 61. Can't believe it. I've been everywhere. Well, I don't have a bucket list. I've done it all. But I have struggles every day. You don't understand that. But this morning, I have struggled getting ready for church. But I overcome my struggle daily by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And people look at me. Jesus did number one. Number two, we have to do number two. By the word of their testimony, if you do not tell your story will not be told. If you do not tell your story, you will be not a overcomer every day. Look at me. It is vital. It is absolutely necessary to tell your story every day. You say it's impossible. It's my story long. I can tell my story because it's long. No, it's not. I'm going to tell you your story today, may I? Your story is three words. And may I give you your story today, may I? Your story is, I am blessed. I am blessed. You'd say, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. But I know one thing, you are blessed this morning. You'd say, preacher, I'm going to hell today. Well, praise God, you might be going through hell, but you are going through hell blessed. So tell me your story. I am blessed. Say it again.
I am blessed.
Louder.
I am blessed.
One more time.
I am blessed.
Therefore, the next time somebody come up to you and say, how are you? Just say, I'm blessed. Huh? And leave out all the other details. They don't give very well. Especially church people. I've been asked 11 times this morning in the church, how are you? And I'd say, I'm blessed. But by the time I answer them, they were a long way away from me. How are you? They don't give a whip. I'm afraid to ask people how they're doing. Number one, I'm afraid they're going to tell me. Number two, I don't want to know. How you doing, man? Oh, my back killing me. How you doing? So I don't think I'm going to make it today. That's pitiful. Every little pain we get, we have, we say, woe is me, woe is me, woe is my feet, woe is my leg, woe is my back, woe is my head. Oh, get over it. Take a number and get in line. Amen. But you are blessed. And people, you don't know how you are blessed, but you are. And get your eyes off your circumstance and get it on the goodness of God. Amen? Some people think, I have a handicap. No, I don't. I have a platform to tell my story, which is I am blessed. Some people think I have a disability. I don't have a disability. I have a platform to tell my story, which is I am blessed. Some people think I have a problem. I don't have a problem. I have an opportunity to tell my story, which is I am blessed. Some people think I have a burden to bear. I don't have a burden to bear. I have a blessing to share. Cerebral palsy. It's not a punishment. May I say that again? Cerebral palsy is not a punishment. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. May I prove it? Huh? I'm the only man you know that been to four children and never changed one diaper. I'm blessed. I remember when my wife was having our baby, she would give me one M&M and say, go change the diaper. I said, not me, I have cerebral palsy. And she was dumb enough to believe it. Duh. My wife knew if I changed the diaper, it'd be all over the wall. Don't you wish now you have cerebral palsy? You can get away with anything you don't want to do. I might be dumb, but not stupid. Duh. But I'm blessed. I was born dead. I was born a stillborn baby, a dead baby, a blue baby. And they literally took my body and put it on a table against the wall, and I lay on the table for 18 minutes. Can you imagine me being there for 18 minutes? I'm not supposed to be ill today. I'm supposed to be a vegetable. Every cell in my brain should be dead. But I'm not a vegetable. I'm blessed. You know why I'm not a vegetable? Because it's not over until God say it's over. Can you imagine the conversation in heaven on October 28, 1953, angels came to God and said, oh no, God, you got a dead baby in Jonesboro, Arkansas. What are you going to do about him? God said, I know about the dead baby. I'm well aware of the dead baby. I'm still on the throne. I still got everything under control. They came back and said, well, God, he's been dead for 9 minutes. And God said, I thought I told you to mind your own business. Stick what you do. And I will take care of the big stuff. You just sing. They said, God, I've been there 50 minutes, and God, with the loud voice, with the thunder roaring voice, God said, angels, the dead baby is on my time watch. I ordained the dead baby to be dead for 18 minutes. He been dead for he got 3 more minutes and stick around. Angel, I'm gonna burn the dead baby alive because 60 years from now, he's gonna be in Newman, Georgia on stage at the Westside Baptist Church. Give me all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Praise be to the Lamb of God. God had another plan. When I was 9, my daddy died. When I was 14, my mom got sick. I'm the baby of the family. I'm the baby of 8. When I came along, they gave me everything I wanted. I'm not only the baby, but I'm a number one mama baby boy. You can tell by looking at me, my mama baby boy, I'm a mama baby boy. See that baby face? You know, a face only a mom can love. Boy, some of you know what I mean, don't you? Some of you look like you've been beaten with the ugly stick. You know what I mean? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly! He told me to tell you that. Duh! But being a special needs, got like that. My mama overcompensated. If you are a mom today, you will know what I'm talking about. Every time I eat the food for my folks, therefore my mom feed me. Every time we go in public, people can't understand me. Therefore my mama talk for me. My mama bathe me. My mama clothed. My mama did everything, but when I was 14 years old, my mom got sick, and the doctor said, your mom had cancer. She had it from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and she's not going to make it. She 6 months at the moment in dying. And I'd say, oh, no, my mama not going to die. My mama told me every day, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. I will always be there for you. I will always defend you. Yeah, my mama can die. My mama is the only one that loves me. Just the way I am, my mama can die on me. Can she? But October 16th, 1968, my mom and Drew were last breath. And when my mom and I died, I didn't want to live. My mom was my life support. Everywhere I went, somebody would pull their finger, look the boy walking, and look at that boy talking. It's no fun to be my fun of. Somebody once said, stick in stone and break my bone, but words never hurt me. Do you believe that? That's the biggest lie. The power of a spoken word. Do you remember the song, whoa, 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 you're both getting down the stream. Do you remember that? Finish it for me. Me only, me only, me only, me only. Whoa, 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 your boat. Whoever wrote that is an idiot. Life is more than a dream. Life is a nightmare. Life is not fair. I attempted suicide every other day for 2 years. Why did God spare my life? Because God had a bigger plan for me. I sure wish he would let me in on it a long time before he did. And the sister that took me in, she molested me. She was 16 years older than I was 40, I was 50, and every other day she molested me. I wanted to die. And she took my innocence away. She took everything away. And I wanted to die, but one night I went to church. I wanted to get out of the hell hole I was living in for a moment. I walked to a church 3 blocks from my house, and they were having a revival. I opened the door, and I got funny feeling. God said, angels, angels, you need to come over here. I remember the dead baby. Well, he walked into the door of the Baptist church. Come over, angel, because in a moment I'm going to touch the lonely boy's life, and I'm going to give life to him for the second time. I'm going to touch his life. I'm going to turn his life every which way but loose. He won't ever be the same. Stick around, angels. And praise God. He is faithful. He is always on time. He is never late. And thank God that night I got down on my knees on the invitation. I'd say, God, I don't have anything to give you. He'd say, good, I love nothing. I walk with nothing and make something out of it. Once before, at the end, can do it again. I don't have nothing to give you, but broken heart, it said, good, I love broken things. I'd say, my heart is shattered. It said, good, I'm more powerful than super glue. Just give me the pieces, and I will put it together. And hallelujah, April 17th. 1970 at 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time, I became a somebody. I became a child of God. I became a new creature. God took over my old thing and gave me new thing. Look at me. I still walk with the Lord. I still talk funny. But oh, the joy that floods my soul. I still have cerebral palsy, but thank God cerebral palsy don't help me. I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, which is I am blessed. And people come up to me and say, preacher, don't you want to be normal? I'd say, what's normal? You think you're normal? You got a long way to go, buddy. Some people ask me, do you believe in divine healing? Yep. Do you believe God can heal you? Yep. Do you believe God can heal you of cerebral palsy? Yep. But if we don't, hallelujah anyway. And by the way, if God does heal me physically, who is he going to make me look like? You? Forget it. I'm happy with this over that. Duh. I went back to school and people from day one, God changed my life. The school, the public school, took notice, and they called together a old school assembly. They wanted me to stand on stage and give my story. That's a God thing. I got on stage and I told that public school, 1,400 students. I said, student body, I went to an old-fashioned revival, gave God my life. And I don't want to stay there, but I know one thing. I don't want to die. I want to live. Why? Because I got something worth living for. Amen? And you know what they did? They voted me to be the most popular boy in that student body. They pretty good, huh? They voted me to be minister to school people. They voted me to be the vice president of my class. I even beat out a good-looking cheerleader. And I got the yearbook to prove it. I'm the only 60-year-old man that you know that been out of school over 44 years that still got the yearbook on the coffee table. They wanted to put it up in the attic. I'd say, heck no, leave it on the coffee table. I'm on every other page, leave it on the coffee table. Why were I on every other page? Because the main job that the vice president get to do in being my senior year, I got to pick out pictures to go in the yearbook. I'm dumb, but not stupid. They voted me to be the football, basketball, and try manager, look at me. I didn't do always, but look at me. I learned three things being manager of all three sports. If I did not do, number one, if I did not do my job as a manager, they couldn't do their job. Number two, I found out it took everybody to make a great team. Number three, I found out I could never be a quarterback. But I could always help somebody. to be the best quarterback of the wild. What if we adopt today in the church? Everybody wants to be a quarterback. Nobody wants to be a manager. Well, if people look at me, if you don't do your job as a member of the church, nobody else could do their job. The Bible said if one member of the body is not functioning, you are a crippled church. And praise God, I've been to over 7,250 churches and 50 crippled churches. Because somebody is slacking off. It's time, church, to get out of the stands and get on the field in the game of life. It's time to get the lead out and put the Lord in. It's time to get off your blessed assurance. You're welcome. It's time to quit making excuses. Yep. Some of you need to sing in the choir. You'd say, well, I don't sing anymore because somebody hurt my feeling. Well, whippity-doody. You big baby. Don't let the doorknob hear you as you go out. You're welcome. But people, look at me. The master is coming back. And one day you and I going to stand before God. And God's going to say, what do you do with the ability that I gave you? Huh? They told me I would never preach. Preachers told me, you won't ever make it. I only been doing it 41 years. I may not make it. They said, David, you won't get enough invitation to speak up. I only spoken to 7,250 churches. Have I told you that before? And I get an invitation a day. All I got to say to the bunch of preachers who told me I will never make it, all I got to say, nah, 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 nah. Sunday morning, look at me. I came down as a 19-year-old boy. I came to my preacher. I said, preacher, God called me to preach. My preacher said, David, it's a big man of your imagination. Go back and sit down. Sunday night, I came again. I said, preacher, God coming to preach. He said, David, I told you what. Now I'm telling you again. It's a big one of your imagination. God did not call you to preach. Now go back and sit down. Wednesday night, I came again. By the way, when I go to church, I love to sit in different locations. You know why? I want the devil to look for me. You are a second Doug. Every Sunday morning, Doug. I said, preacher, God called me to preach. He looked at me and said, David, if God did not call you to preach, God will never call you to preach. God can use anybody like you in the pulpit. Go back and sit down and don't come again. What will you do in that situation? I tell you what you will do. You will leave the church over there. And on the way out of the door, you will even say, the hell with the church. You know what I did? Sunday morning. I said, preacher, God coming to preach. I know you're not going to believe me. Therefore, I got to spend my entire life making you eat crow. And I'm happy to tell you today that my preacher for 41 years he's been chowing down. What would happen if I left the church? Game changer. Number two, why do you leave the church? Somebody hurt your feelings? Really? Let me give you a little inside scoop. Don't bring that up on Judgment Day. God don't give a whip about your feelings. Huh? Get it off your sleeve. God wants to use you. And my friend, The Bible says, you will have trouble, but you have overcome the world. My friend, if you're going through bad times today, hang on because joy comes in the morning. What would happen if I became a bitter old man? I'm doing it. I'm preaching. I'm obeying God. One day at a time. Huh? Do you know that's the only thing I do for a living? I'm not only church staff. I'm not only church people. I'm not only anybody people. I go from church to church, from town to town. I don't go to a church on a set amount. I go to a church on a free will love offering. You know what that means, don't you? If you don't give, I don't eat. Duh. That's the truth. I don't know what I'm going to get today. I don't have a clue what you gonna give me today. But I know one thing, I'm having the time of my life. Do you know, I could be on welfare. I could be on total disability. You could be paying my way, whether you want to or not. And if you don't give, I will be on welfare. People, I don't get money in the mail. I don't. I don't have a list of support. I chose that 40 years ago. I want to live week by week. God know what I need. And God know how to touch your pocketbook. Huh? They told me I would never finish college, but I did. I crammed 4 years into five. I forgot I'm in Georgia. They told me I would never ride a bicycle, but I do without training wheels. By the way, if you see me on a bicycle, get out of my way. They told me I would never drive, but I do. I drive all over this nation. Why? Because I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than conqueror. I'm dumb enough to believe the book. The book said I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength. They told me I would never find a wife. You saw before your own eyes. God gave me a wife. She dynamite. I never will forget September 5th, 1981. I looked through the double door. The double door was open wide, and I saw a beautiful bride walking down the aisle in a white gown, beaming from ear to ear, and she started walking towards me, and I was overwhelmed. I started squalling. I did. My groomsmen got under my arms, and they whisper in both ears, "Breathe. Breathe. You're going down. Breathe." And I thought, how good God is. And I'd say, "I do." She'd say, "I do." And we did. And we've been doing it for 32 years. Huh? You'd say, "Have you ever talked about divorce?" No, we talk about killing each other. She's not going to get my money. They told me, I can't believe I said that. They told me I would never be able to have children. My own daughter, listen closely. My own daughter said, "David, you won't ever be able to produce." 3 weeks after we got married, my wife called me. And she said, "Babe, I went to the doctor today. I'm pregnant." I'd said the most stupid thing a husband can say to a wife. How could that be? My wife said, "I don't know. Tell me, big boy." Every time I look at my wife, she get pregnant. After the fourth one, I'd look around like this. April age 32, master with psychology, got 3 little babies, 5-year-old boy, a 3-year-old boy, and 1-year-old little girl. Ashley, Dawn, and Melvin, and they live in Nashville. They live about 20 minutes from me. Nathan, my boy, he lives in Denver. Nathan is 26. Nathan is available. I'm taking an application at the door. If you want the dude, you can have him today. Duh, I'm sick of the dude. Amy Joy, the baby, is 24 years old. Amy graduated from high school in May of 2008 only by the grace of God. Amy either going to put me in the grave or in a mental ward. I thought cerebral palsy was tough to live with until she came along. She looked at me one day and said, "Well, Dad, I did not ask to be born." I'd say, "Yeah, you better thank God, because if you did ask to be born, I would say no." Can I get witness? Amen? But Amy graduated from college from Belmont University with a nursing degree. I walked up to Amy, I put my arm around Amy. I'd say, "Amy, I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad you went into the nursing field, because I'm getting old. I'm moving with you. And you better build doors that ride with my wheelchair. And by that time, I'm going to have to wheel the pins. And you got to change me every day." And by the way, Amy, you remember the four hellish years in high school that you were the pain in the neck to Mom and me? I only say neck, but God, I'm a preacher. Duh. But look at me, I'm finished. I'm finished. Every time I look at my family, all I can say, I am blessed. I thank God every day. I thank God. Listen to me. I thank God every day for the death of my mom. Because my mama did not die, my four children would not be born. If my mama did not die, I would never be able to find a wife that loved judge the way I am. If my mama did not die, I would never be able to answer the call to preach the gospel. In January or February, they are making a movie in Hollywood right now. And the name of the movie is Born to Lose, but Destiny to Win. And that movie is going to be about my life. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. I can't wait to get see me on the big screen. It's a $10 million project. I don't have to come up with a dime. I told my family about the movie, and my older daughter said, "Dad, how much they gonna pay you?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "Dad, you are lying to me. How much are you how much they gonna pay you and Mom, because you need every penny that they give you. And I'd say, April, I'd sign my life story away. She'd say, you are serious. I'd say, yep. It never been about money. And I'm not going to start now. My son spoke up and he said, Dad, you not going to get any money? I'd said, no money, no more dime. And he'd say, Dad, they made a movie about you and Mom a long time ago. I'd said, they did. What? He'd said, Dumb and Dumber. I'd say, yeah, boy, don't forget, I'm still your ATM machine. Duh. But look at me. I need to give an invitation. But don't go into any other moan before you're in now. Let's keep with the flow. What are you doing today with what God gave you? Are you doing all you can with all you have? If you stand before God today, what will God say to you? What are you doing? I gave God everything. God took a crippled body and he allowed me to go all over. And I'm so excited about the movie because they're all body worn down. I feel better today. I felt in years. But if I died today, my bags are packed. And you know why I'm... You know why I'm so excited about the movie? Because I'm praying for one more soul to get encouraged. A single mom with a special needs child walk into that theater, no hope, somebody bought her a ticket. And I want to see that mom leaving that theater and say, wow, God had a plan for my special needs baby. A single dad who'd been divorced, the wife took everything with her. I want to see from the balcony of glory that single dad say, I don't have any problem compared with that guy. We're not in theater today. Or maybe we are. Maybe we are. In the audience watching the theater. What now? He got himself in a cloud of witnesses. And they are screaming from the balcony, do all you can with all you have, because it will be worth it all. May I give a different type of invitation? May I? Any moment we can stay. Nobody can sing. No, nobody can sing. Maybe I want you to stand over there any moment. I want you to stand right here, please, any moment. Alton. You could not understand me. Alton. And you understand that, but look at me. I want everybody to stand in a moment. Nobody going to sing. And I want every one of you, who'd say, I'm not doing all I can for the kingdom of God today. I want you to leave your seat and come to one of these men. And I want you to say this. I'm making myself more available to God today. And then go back to your seat. You'd say, preacher, can I make that decision in my seat? Nope. Because the man of God asked the family of God to respond to the message of God. And therefore, if you are not doing all you can, I want every single one of you to come down way out and say, I'm making myself more available than go back to your seat. Now, do you understand the invitation? If you do, shake your head. Do y'all believe? Are you ready to come? I don't want anybody to leave. God, don't even think about leaving. You'd say, preacher, you know what time it is? Yep. Time for you and me to come to God. It's later than it ever been. And we have booked this meeting 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You know why I came to Redside Baptist Church today? I'm your wake-up call. And please, don't roll over and hit the snooze button. If you're not doing all you can, I want you to come. Number two, if you've never been born in the family of God, let that be known to one of these men. I want to be a part of the family of God. Number three, if you want to join the church, do it today. But my main thought for God's people to get out of the stands and get on the playing field. Preacher, I want you to come. David, I want you to come out. I'll be the first one. Preacher, I'm making myself more available today. Are you ready to come? Then stand to your feet and start walking right now.